itself. The Lord was extremely popular and he was comfortable financially. And yet, at the end of his 24th year, Lord Chaitanya, who was then known as, did everyone know this? His name was Vishwambar Mishra Purandar. That was his name. He gave it all up. In the middle of the night, he left home, walked about 8 hours in a northwesterly direction from Navadvip to the town of Katwa, and accepted the renounced order of life from Keshav Bharati. So feeling intense separation from Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya then headed toward Sri Vrindavan Dham. But the supreme trickster, Lord Nityananda, had other ideas and basically fooled Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that after wandering for 3 days in an area called Radha Desh, which means where the Ganges does not flow, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended up at Shantipur and the house of Advaita Acharya. Well, hearing of this, Mother Shachi and hundreds of devotees traveled to Shantipur from Navadvip to see the Lord, and that's about a 4-hour walk. Mother Shachi was devastated to see her young son with shaven head and sannyas dress, and she was convinced that never again in this lifetime would she see her son. But when she requested the Lord to make his headquarters, and he agreed, at Jagannath Puri, she knew she would at least hear news about him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Shantipur for 3 days and then headed to Jagannath Puri. He had a very small entourage consisting of Lord Nityananda, Jagannanda Pandit, Sarvadamara Goswami, and Mukundadad. So they visited temples and holy places on their way to Jagannath Puri, and near Puri, the Lord displayed his Danda Bhanga pastime, in which Nityananda Prabhu broke the Lord's Danda into 3 pieces and tossed it into the river. Expressing anger externally, the Lord then went on alone to Jagannath Puri. So that brings us to chapter 6. It was important for Lord Chaitanya to arrive alone at Jagannath Puri because the devotees would often check his ecstatic behavior when in public. But without his associates nearby, Lord ran toward Lord Jagannath in complete abandon, intending to embrace him, but fell unconscious on the temple floor. A watchman saw this and, thinking the Lord a vagrant, was going to beat him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also witnessed everything and forbade the watchman to do so. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a huge leader of the impersonalist school. But to his credit, the first things that he noticed about Lord Chaitanya were, 1, his extreme beauty, and 2, his advanced ecstatic symptoms, which Sarvabhauma recognized as being impossible for a human being to manifest. But now Sarvabhauma faced a dilemma. What to do about this tall, beautiful mendicant who had fallen into a trance on the temple floor? So after the prasadam offering to Lord Jagannath, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya engaged some of his followers and temple watchmen to carry the Lord to Sarvabhauma's residence. Once they arrived, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya noticed that the Lord wasn't breathing and his abdomen wasn't moving. But when he put a little tuft of cotton to the Lord's nostrils, it moved ever so slightly. So Sarvabhauma's anxiety was relieved and he was a little hopeful. Meanwhile, and now we begin with verse 14, Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda, Sarvadamara and Mukundadat arrive outside the Jagannath temple in search of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begin hearing from locals about this mendicant who fell into a trance of ecstasy and was carried to Sarvabhauma's home. Just then, who should show up at the temple gate but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, who was Gopinath Acharya, who in this pastime will serve as a liaison to Sarvabhauma, and who also plays a critical role in Sarvabhaumacharya's deliverance. So Gopinathacharya was a resident of Nadia and a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He also knew Mukunda Dutt, remember, who was part of Lord Chaitanya's entourage. He knew him from Nadia and was astonished to see him in Jagannath Puri. People didn't travel as easily as we do today. So Mukunda told Gopinath what they had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falling unconscious in the temple. So Gopinath offered to take them to the home of Sarvabhauma, who, remember, was his brother-in-law. So beginning with verse 30, they then go to the home of Sarvabhauma, who welcomes them and shows them the Lord lying in a state of unconscious trance. He then suggests that they take darshan of Lord Jagannath, so they return to the temple to see Lord Jagannath, receive a prasadam garland, and then return to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home. While they're at the temple, Lord Nityananda almost falls unconscious in an ecstatic trance, but the devotees save him, so to speak, hold him up, so everything is fine. So they arrive back at the home of Sarvabhauma, and they loudly chant the Maha Mantra, and just before noon, Lord Chaitanya finally regains consciousness. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offers them all Jagannath Maha Prasadam for lunch. In verse 50, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya begins to ask Gopinath Acharya about the Lord's previous situation, meaning his householder life. And Gopinath Acharya explains that through village relationships, Sarvabhauma is closely related, or closely connected, rather, to Lord Chaitanya's family. And this makes Sarvabhauma very happy, although we find out that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had left Nadia before the Lord appeared, before he was born. So at this point, we begin to see Lord Chaitanya gradually reeling Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in. Starting with verse 59, the Lord appeals to Sarvabhauma's fatherly instinct, and he says, I'm a young sannyasi, and I actually have no knowledge of what is right, or rather he said, what is good and what is bad. Therefore, I am taking shelter of you and accepting you as my spiritual master. I have come here only to associate with you. Will you kindly maintain me in all respects? What happened today, of course referring to his falling unconscious in the temple, what happened today, the Lord said, was a great obstacle for me, but you have kindly saved me. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then offers his aunt's residence for the Lord to stay in. The next day, Gopinath Acharya takes Mukunda Dutt to see Sarvabhauma, who then, starting with verse 67 of this chapter 6, inquires about the Lord's sannyas initiation. Sarvabhauma emphasizes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in his full-fledged youthful life. How can he keep the principles of sannyas? I shall continually recite Vedanta philosophy before him so that he may remain fixed in his renunciation and then enter upon the path of monism. There's this eternal conflict between the personalists and the impersonalists. At that point, Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya begin discussing the absolute truth. And Sarvabhauma expresses his doubts about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being an incarnation. But Gopinath replies, you are a great scholar and a teacher of many disciples. Indeed, there is no other scholar like you on earth. Nonetheless, because you are bereft of even a pinch of the Lord's mercy, you cannot understand him, even though he is present in your home. It's not your fault. It's the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by scholarship. So at this point, Krishnadas Kaviraj says in the narration, Gopinathacharya was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and therefore their relationship was very sweet and intimate. Under the circumstances, Gopinathacharya taught him by sometimes blaspheming him, sometimes praising him, and sometimes laughing at him. This had been going on for some time. So the next day, starting with verse 118, the Lord and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya meet in the Jagannath temple. Bhattacharya tells the Lord, hearing Vedanta philosophy is a sannyasi's main business. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation from a superior person. So for 7 days continually, the Lord listens to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhauma. However, the Lord doesn't say anything and doesn't indicate whether he agrees or disagrees. He simply sits there and listens. I mean, I have trouble listening for 30 minutes, and the Lord listened, but not listening to nectar. He listened to poison, essentially, for 7 days continually. Don't try this at home. This is very dangerous for us. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks, after 7 days, why the Lord has not replied or inquired, the Lord says, and this is verse 126, the Lord says, I am a fool. And consequently, I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I'm just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me to do so. Only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of life do I listen. Unfortunately, I cannot in the least understand the meaning you are presenting. The Lord goes on, I can understand the meaning of each sutra very clearly, but your explanations have simply agitated my mind. Impersonalist philosophy is very agitating. The meaning of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra contain clear purports in themselves, but the purports you presented simply cover the meaning of the sutras like a cloud. You do not explain the direct meaning of the Brahma Sutras. Indeed, it appears that your business is to cover their real meaning. From verses 133 to 186, the Lord explains that Brahman is neither impersonal nor without energies. That Bhagavan Sri Krishna has three primary energies, but originally they're all spiritual. And the Lord points out the fallacy of Shankaracharya's theory that the Supreme Absolute Truth is transformed when he expands into different potencies. The Absolute Truth has his transcendental, blissful, eternal form. According to the Vedas, the Lord and the living entity are equal in quality but different quantitatively. The real philosophy of the Absolute Truth states that the Lord and his creation are inconceivably and simultaneously one and different. The conclusion is, I found this interesting, that the Mayavadi philosophers are just atheists. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, extremely learned gentleman, tries to counter the Lord's arguments, but without success. The Lord ends the discussion with the famous Atmarama verse, which Sarvabhauma then asks the Lord to explain. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, you first. So Sarvabhauma comes up with 9 explanations of the Atmarama verse based on the scriptures and on principles of logic. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then counters with 18 completely new explanations of the Atmarama verse. So just as a side note, the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma contains some of the most complete and persuasive arguments of Vaishnavism that you will find anywhere. And if anyone is interested in presenting our philosophy to a learned audience, he would do well to study and understand the Lord's arguments. Finally, in verse 199, the light in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brain finally comes on, and he realizes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. He denounces himself as an offender and takes shelter of the Lord. To show him mercy, the Lord reveals his four-handed Vishnu form, and then his two-handed form as Krishna, with a blackish complexion and a flute to his lips. Seeing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya falls flat to offer his obeisances and quickly composes 100 verses glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which greatly pleases the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya closes by saying, I had become dull-headed due to reading too many books on logic. Consequently, I had become like an iron bar. Nonetheless, you have melted me, and therefore your influence is very great. Now just imagine this renowned scholar, very famous, many disciples. And basically, in an instant, after a few discussions, after witnessing the Lord's ecstasy and a discussion with Lord Chaitanya about philosophy, immediately surrenders. Incredible lesson for all of us. I mean, look what he was giving up. So in verses 216 to 239, the Lord displays his pastime of offering Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Jagannath Prasadam very early in the morning. So Sarvabhauma is just waking up before sunrise when he hears Chaitanya Mahaprabhu outside. So he goes outside to offer him prayers, and immediately the Lord immediately offers him Mahaprasad. Without bathing or washing his mouth, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recites prayers and prays of Mahaprasadam and immediately honors it, violating all the mundane principles of cleanliness he had previously observed as a Mayavadi Brahmana. From verses 240 to 259, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks the Lord about the most important item for the execution of devotional service, to which the Lord responds. Does anyone remember how the Lord responded to that question? What's the most important item for devotional service? I wouldn't have been able to answer, but I read the chapter. The Lord responds, the chanting of the holy name. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya writes two verses on a palm leaf and gives them to Jagadananda Pandit to deliver to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before Jagadananda does so, Mukunda Dutt copies the two verses on the wall outside the room, for as soon as the Lord reads the palm leaf, he immediately tears it up. These are two very famous verses, and the first one, at least I'm a little more familiar with, the first verse of the two starts out, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form, O Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. That's an interesting lesson in itself, because unless we're exalted devotees, we may have dubious ideas on what is detachment. But here, detachment is defined as anything that does not foster Krishna consciousness. Finally, from verses 259 to 286, which is the end of chapter 6, we witness the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about the famous 10th canto prayer by Lord Brahma to Lord Krishna that begins, Tatte anakampasusamikshamana. One who patiently suffers the reactions of his past misdeeds and offers the Lord respectful obeisances is surely eligible for liberation. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a huge scholar, as we know, and a proponent of the sanctity of the scriptures. But he's become such a bhakti fanatic that he changes the term mukti pade to bhakti pade. This is in his recitation. So the Lord is actually pleased with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's sentiment, but he explains that the term mukti pade actually refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then argues that the term mukti induces hate and fear, and the word bhakti inspires transcendental bliss. So for me anyway, here was one takeaway from this chapter 6 of the Majjhalila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very young. He had taken sannyas at the end of his 24th year. And in mortal human beings, our brain is not really fully formed at that time. And then his conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took place maybe 2 or 4 weeks later. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest logician of his time. So the Lord's conversion of Sarvabhauma as a brand new sannyasi could be compared to, for example, Hridayananda Maharaj, after taking sannyas at the age of 24, immediately converting to Krishna consciousness. So someone of the stature of Reverend Billy Graham or Dr. Martin Luther King or Rick Warren, more recently. It was huge and unexpected. Just as the later conversion by the Lord of Prakasananda Saraswati in Varanasi was of major significance, so the conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a huge impact on the religious life and on the philosophical environment of 16th century India. Oh, good, we're early. So I wanted to end today's class by sharing some personal realizations that I have found very helpful. They may seem so obvious that they're hardly worth mentioning, but at the same time, they've added new meaning to my own practice of sadhana bhakti. We chant the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra many times a day. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And I know that Srila Prabhupada instructed us to chant the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra before we chant Hare Krishna. So one day I was slowly chanting the Pancha Tattva Maha Mantra between rounds when I got a clear impression. Worship their feet. So my mind is such a repository of degraded thoughts, I assume maybe that's coming from Supersoul. So I began showing special respect to the lotus feet of each member of the Pancha Tattva. But sometime later, I asked myself, where is this heading? What am I supposed to do with this? And then it occurred to me, I'm supposed to develop an individual relationship with each and every member of the Pancha Tattva. And then sometime later, I'm supposed to dedicate all of my love to each member of the Pancha Tattva. Really? I thought our love was specifically meant for Guru and Gauranga and Radha and Krishna. So as a side note, when Srila Prabhupada was translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita back in perhaps 73 or 74, he asked that chapter 7 of the Adi Lila be released as a separate small book before the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself was published. So the title of the small book, many of you know, was Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. Prabhupada was so anxious that the devotees and the general public learn about the Pancha Tattva that he wanted that book printed immediately. So in classes, we sometimes hear the word unpack, as in, I'm going to unpack the meaning of such and such verse. Well, who are the Pancha Tattva but Radha Krishna unpacked? Radha Krishna made accessible to us unfortunate souls of Kali Yuga. Radha and Krishna who do not consider our offenses. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read that one must please Nityananda Prabhu in order to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by perfecting our servitor relationship with Lord Chaitanya, we become qualified to enter into the Madhurya Ras with Radha and Krishna. So, and this is in no particular order, I wish then to give all of my love to Lord Chaitanya. But since spiritual arithmetic is 1 minus 1 equals 1, I'll then devote all my remaining love, which is all my love, to Nityananda Prabhu. And whatever is left over, which is all of my love, I'll devote to Advaita Acharya, and then Gadadhar Pandit, and then Srivas Thakur. After all, is there anything wrong with my declaring to, fill in the blank, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, or the holy name himself, I love you with all my heart. Please engage me in your service. And my expectation is that gradually, ever so gradually, each of these extraordinary transcendental persons will disclose a little tiny bit of their engaging personalities. We've all heard of the six loving exchanges between devotees, offering and receiving gifts, inquiring and revealing one's mind, and offering and receiving prasadam. But that begs the question, do these exchanges apply to our relationships with just fellow devotees or with the Supreme Lord as well? Well, I'm reminded of when Sudama Brahmana gave Krishna both a gift and foodstuffs, loosely speaking, it was just some chipped rice, when he visited the Lord in Dwarka. Now, prasadam means mercy of the Lord, so certainly Krishna is gifting us prasadam, not to mention everything else in creation. Krishna disclosed his mind in confidence to the gopis. He said, I can never repay you for your service, so you'll just have to be satisfied with the service itself. And Lord Chaitanya disclosed his anxiety for the fallen souls to Haridas Thakur, who responded that the loud chanting of the Maha Mantra is so powerful that it will deliver even the non-human beings. And certainly there are many, many examples of the devotees feeding Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. We do it here many times a day. And Krishna asks us to give him a gift of a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, and in exchange, again, he gives us everything. And Srila Prabhupada supposedly said, and I heard this from two different devotees, that if you need help with anything, then bring it to the brothers. So there are plenty of examples of the six loving exchanges applying to our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well. So final point. Again and again in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj reminds us that the Lord's pastimes are fathomless and endless. Many times he states that although Ananta Sesha has been reciting Lord Chaitanya's pastimes from the beginning of time, he is unable to reach the end of them. So when I read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, since my consciousness is within the pressure cooker of time and bodily conception, I think that the Lord's pastimes are sequential. First he did this, then he did that, then he did the next thing. And that's the offense of thinking that the Lord's name, form, and pastimes are mundane. I have to remind myself that just as Lord Vishnu maintains millions of planets and universes simultaneously, that same person, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is capable of performing millions of pastimes simultaneously. So, besides chanting a minimum of 16 rounds every day, my wife and I have become quite regulated at reading Chaitanya Charitamrita together every day. So my conclusion is that if I can develop submissiveness to Srila Prabhupada, love for the devotees, attachment to the holy name, and a little affection for Lord Chaitanya by hearing about his pastimes every day until I depart this world, I'll consider my life to be a success. Thank you for your kind attention. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Ratha Yatra ki jai. Oh, no time for questions. Ha ha. Thank you.
Good. Yeah.